it's like God is in the future and in the present, and I don't see how that can operate.
Hello and welcome to another episode. My name's Peter Cooper and I'm with Maggie Cooper. How are you doing today, Maggie?
I'm okay, but I'm a bit short of time.
We're going to be talking today about time.
Thinking about time and, you know, how God fits into all of this thing. I mean, the thing with time and God, which I think that some people would say, well, God isn't in time. He's outside of time, and when you ask him to do things, well, he can like change the future or maybe even change the past or something to make it so that that thing is going to happen. But is that really how God is operating?
Yes, and perhaps we could return to this idea in a later conversation to tease out what it means for different theological schemes, which make real claims about themselves, to be the only way to interpret thinking about God and about the biblical God. I'm thinking of schemes such as Calvinism and Arminianism, for example, which have a particular view of how much God knows about and controls the future.
Yeah, I mean, like some people would say, God's got all your plans laid out for you ahead of you.
God has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah, I've heard somebody say that to me relatively recently, and I didn't want to then come back and argue about it because my view isn't really that God's all got all the steps planned out for you. I mean, if that is what the sort of God he is, then I would be a little bit upset because, say, when I was a child, my dad died when I was quite young. You know, and if you say, well, God had planned that out, that at your age of 9 years old, your dad would die. It's like, what sort of God is that would plan that out for my...
This then leads people into quite a deep, and in fact, actually quite a fascinating exploration of how God could be good and do that. And clever... But not convincing.
Well, some people would say in that circumstances, somebody would say, well, because that happened, then that made you do such and such a career path. Or, you know, like, for example, I went into doing research into cancer because I then was interested in that, you know, partly as a result of my experience. But, I don't see why a loving God would plan it that way to do that. There are other ways. If you're talking about Almighty God created the universe, goodness grief, he can arrange it so that I think, oh, to go down that career path or that other career path without having some sort of major traumatic event in my life.
Yeah, and just a word to the listener. If you're listening and thinking, well, how does the biblical description of God fit in with this? Surely God is sovereign and the Bible describes God being sovereign over everything, past, present, and future. We've got Bible verses we could quote. We're not really doing that sort of discussion today. We're looking at the nature of time and how that relates to God. So we're coming at it from a scientific, philosophical point of view, only looking broadly at the topics. But we can have another conversation where we look at what does the Bible actually say, and maybe it's an even another conversation about what does that mean pastorally.
I think the thing about it is, though, if you're saying, oh, God's like got all these things planned for you, it's like God is in the future and in the present, and I don't see how that can operate. Yep. I mean, I have been reading a little bit about this, and one of the quotes which I like is, why do we remember the past and not the future?
Okay, yeah, no, that's interesting.
And time has got a certain...
Who is that quote from?
Well, it certainly came from Stephen Hawking, The Brief History of Time. I'm not sure whether it was his quote. It was in the book more than once.
Okay, so let's start with that concept then. As we're going to look into this, the philosophical approach, the nature of time. When we talk about time, we talk usually about a present moment now, which is changing in that it's coming from the past through the present into the future. And there are various wordings that are used to describe that that's one that you could use. It's a continual state of going into the future, coming out of the past and going into the future. But there are different ways of looking at it, all of which you can take and you can sort of play with the ideas. Here's a brief range of what you could say. You could say that the present is all that's real. I'm just going to analyse past, present and future. The present is all that's real. The past happened, but it's not real anymore. There's only now. The future hasn't happened yet. So all you've got is now. And you may have heard that sort of phrase used in sort of her self-help books. All you've got is now, so live the moment. That's one philosophical.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting point, though, about that, because, you know, I think very much, you know, so in my work, or the work that I've done in the past, it was very much about sticking to certain procedures and doing things in a certain way. And you're always worried about being inspected and them saying, well, you haven't done that right or that right. But I was always of the opinion, okay, well, it didn't really matter what you'd done in the past. Well, I mean, it's not completely relevant, but what you need to do is decide putting systems in place now so that going forward, yes, that things are right. And then if the inspector came, I would say dismiss what we did in the past, because now we've put into place these systems and yes, they're going forward to doing it
philosophically correctly. It's a strong position, because you can do things now in the now, but you can't do things in the past.
You can't change your past.
And the now does affect the future. So that idea of there only being the present is a powerful one, I think, psychologically speaking. But there is another way of looking at it, which is known as something, there were different phrases used for it, the building block or the growing block of time. So if you can imagine that you're building a block, you're putting bricks on it, yeah, and you're gradually growing, and each brick is now, and you put a brick, and you put another brick on top. So all the bricks below it exist, they're still there,
yes.
But there isn't a future yet. Now, the third view is that it's not that at all. What you've got is perhaps a limitlessly high tower, and you're climbing up it. You know. So all of the time, past, present and future exist. All you're doing is I suppose, actually, with my analogy, it'd be better if you're climbing down it, because you only go one direction, at least easily, until someone invents time travel. But you go down it in one direction, but it's all real. Now, in this concept, if you imagine my big tower of bricks that you're scaling down, God is outside it. Maybe in a Christian view, he made the tower. Mm-hmm. You know, he made all of time, and he looks down at it and sees us scaling down the tower, and he I can see what's coming up. I know what's coming up. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but I've planned it all. That's God being outside of time. If the past is real and the now is just the point of it, the cusp of it, mm-hmm, as it's growing, that it gives you a view of the past that's slightly different, in that the past is still there, it still affects you. Presumably, God could go back into it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said originally.
That depends on a separate question about whether God's outside of time.
If God was outside of time, then he can be in the future and presumably in the present, which means he can go back in time. So why not go back into the past? So to me, that actually doesn't make any logical sense, because another quote,
thick and fast.
Well, it's just about time and the fact that time is kind of going forward. Is it from Augustine, no less?
Augustine of Hippo, yes.
Time is a property of the universe that God created, and time did not exist before the beginning of the universe.
Yes. Now, that brings us on to another point. Did time have a beginning? Now, most Christians would say, I mean, I don't think how you can believe otherwise than this as a Christian, that God didn't have a beginning. So you can say, right, God didn't have a beginning, but does that mean that time didn't have a beginning? Now, if you have the idea that God is outside of time, you have no problem with that. But we have a problem with it, and our problem is with all of these different views of past, present, and future that I talked about, whether it's the growing tower with the growing block with the bricks, or you're coming down the tower, or whether there's only now. The problem is that you can't arrive at now from infinity.
Infinity in the past.
Yes, you can't. Yes. So you only go in one direction. So actually, that's my assumption. That's an assumption. I'm assuming you can only go from past through present into future. You can't. If there was an infinite past, you can't. You can't. There can't be a now. You can't arrive here.
That's right. You could never get. You could never be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there has to be a beginning of time.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that was the conclusion really that Augustine came to, that was hundreds of years ago, isn't it? And it's the same conclusion that really that Stephen Hawking seemed to be saying.
Yes.
That there was a beginning of time, and we would perhaps say that was the creation of the universe, that God created time at the beginning.
Yes, God created the time at the beginning. Now, here we arrive at a problem, because you can only do things when it's now. Now, whatever philosophy you have of the past, present, and the future, for it to be now, time needs to be flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So, if God creates time to start it, where was he before? And if there's no time, there's no before. So how did he create it?
Yeah,
I mean that's a sort of.
Well, I mean that's I think that's another, almost like another question, another. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm really interested in the whole thing about the beginning of time, not the beginning of time, the beginning of the universe, and how the universe came into being. But I think that's outside the scope of the conversation.
Yeah,
we want to have now.
Does time have a beginning? We think that it must.
I think time has to have a beginning, and that was at the creation of the universe. What happened before that? The past. If you want to say what was the past before the beginning of time, it's a meaningless concept. It's like saying, why is a blackboard white? It's not like it's not. It's black. You know, it's kind of.
We think that time has to have a beginning, just because we can do a thought experiment. And we can see that that it isn't possible to arrive here from infinity in the past to here. And in fact, infinity, I think there's a misunderstanding what infinity is. Infinity, something is infinite, it's not finite, so it's without limit. That's all you mean. So if you can travel in that direction, like in the future is infinite.
The future could be
infinite in that it just doesn't have anything to stop it. That doesn't mean you have an infinite number of years in the future that it will exist. It just means it never stops. But going backwards, you would never have arrived. It depends on, you see, on the direction of travel.
But the arrow of time can only go in one direction. I mean, the second law of thermodynamics teaches us that can't go backwards.
Well, yes,
you can tell us that you can. You know, we know for ourselves that things don't go backwards.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this second law of thermodynamics, looking at entropy, is an interesting one in that entropy is a state is moving. I know that you know this. I'm sort of saying it, you don't know. Moving into a state of disorder.
Are you teaching your grandmother to suck eggs?
Which is the. I wish you would learn. Quite frankly, it's a mess. But entropy is a natural process where any natural process will tend towards a state of disorder, and that's the way that time travels.
The classic example would be that you have a glass of water on the table and you knock it off the table and it smashes on the floor into 1,000 pieces. And if you filmed that, you showed it to anybody would be able to tell you which order it was. The pieces of glass don't all come back together again and the water go back in the glass and it go back on the table. It doesn't happen.
So you know, it's an example of we know which direction time is. So that's, I think that this sort of common sense approach is really the only way to look at it, because the rather esoteric ideas that come from dealing with the numbers, you have theoretically a series of equations that describe the world and describe time, and you plug numbers into them. If you play with the numbers, you can make it do almost anything, which is Stephen Hawking's approach when he comes up with imaginary time.
Imaginary time, yeah.
Because he used imaginary numbers.
Yeah.
Now, using...
But he only really, as far as I could work out, I mean, not a complete expert of physics, but as far as I could work out, he was using that to help to describe, you know, some other things. He didn't really believe in that imaginary time existed in that respect.
No, I mean, by definition, I think it doesn't exist.
Yes, it doesn't exist.
It was a way of making the equations work.
Yeah.
So he did have, you know, he had some real reasons for using it. Yes, I agree with that. But in the end... it has to be, yes, to then take it back and look at, well, what happens in reality?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have, and you need to have evidence to take that sort of leap.
I'd just like to say that heavy breathing is not me, it's the dog, if you can hear it.
That's the dog, which is, now, the dog has some great concepts, but we're...
it's only tea time that he's worried about.
Yes, to do with time. Yes, mainly tea time. As long as the meal times are right, he doesn't bother it.
I was going to say was about the time, though, because I think it's really, really important, you know, especially in terms of, you know, how God interacts with time. Now, if he began time at the beginning of the universe.
Yes.
I don't see how he can be outside of time. He's with us through that passage of time. And the concept that everything is laid out and you're like it's a predetermined what's going to happen to you. To me, it makes no sense.
This I would say takes away from the power of God, because if everything is predetermined, he can't do anything.
Yes, he can't, and I think that he can, and I think he changes his...
Not only can't do anything, he can't do anything.
If you pray about something, he changes his mind. He can change his mind about something. You can pray, you know, what's the point of us praying for somebody to be made well if God's already determined that, you know, it's not going to happen?
Yes, I
think it's kind of... you might say, well, God determined that you should pray about... It's like, it becomes kind of almost meaningless, you know. Oh, if you say, well, you should pray because God wants you to pray because he's already determined that that's going to happen. But so you like, have no choice in anything, you know. It's like, is God determined that I'm going to have spaghetti bolognese for my lunch, you know? It's kind of... I don't understand. I don't think God necessarily deals in that minutiae of my life. If he doesn't interact in that minutiae of my life, does he also not interact with those major decisions? Or, you know, I think he can influence your decisions, and I think I would say, you know, it's like you see your baby crawling towards the fire, and you can see the possibilities that might happen because you're the parent. You know, that the child might get burnt by the fire, or a coal might fall out as they approach it, and they might get burnt by that. So you can take interact yes. and move the baby out of the way, or put a guard up. So you know, that's the way that I see God.
Yes, what I would
God,
say is all the attributes of God that is attributed in this, I guess, traditional model of God being it's become a traditional model of God being outside of time, can just as easily be attributed to God being extremely intelligent and well-informed.
Yes, I mean, just in the same way as we know more than what the baby does, you know, God knows that much more than we do. If he's able to create the universe, he must have a pretty good idea about how things work.
My biggest problem with the idea of God being outside of time is trying to then describe him doing something. You see, if you take a thought experiment, so let's think, we're going to think about what God's doing. So God is outside of time, right? Okay. So that means God can see the past, the present, and the future, and we take the idea that they're all real. He's scanning around, he's looking around. Now, what does he do first? Well, first he's looking down to what you're doing now, and then he says, well, I'm just going to have a look into the future at what you're doing next. There's a big problem with that. He's just done things in the past, present, and future. You know, he was having a look around, he looks at you, and then he has a look at what you're going to look in the future. That's passage of time. Now, you could argue that time passes differently for God. That's a different argument. But he's in time. Yeah. Otherwise, he can't do anything. Time, without time passing, you don't do anything.
Well, I mean, I think that you raised an interesting point there, which you, by sort of just something you said, was to do with... whether God sees time in the same way as we do. And I think that's always found that interesting. You know, when you're a child, I mean, I remember as a child waiting for my mum. She'd say, I'm just going to knock on so-and-so's door. I'll just be a minute. And, you know, and she'd knock on the door. And, like, we'd be waiting we had a van at that time, camper van thing. And we'd be waiting there, and it'd be, like, for absolute ever, absolutely forever. She's like, why is she taking so long? But now as a parent, I'm like, I might say the same thing to our kids. I'm just gonna, and you have like a 2 minute chat with somebody and you're back. And it's like 2 minutes when you're a child seems like a whole year. Whereas, you know, when you're doing something, you're busy doing something. A whole hour could go past really quickly.
That's perception. And that's your perception of time rather than actual time.
I know, but I'm just saying.
It feels as if
time has slowed down, or it feels as you get older that maybe time speeds up. You know, you think, well, what was I doing 10 years ago? 10 years ago, it seems like yesterday. Yes. You know, it seems a long time.
And so, I guess to God, He can remember things in the past as if they were yesterday, because He has perfect memory, and He can plan things for the future. And know with certainty they're going to happen because He's going to do them, and you know He's all powerful, so He can make sure.
Things happen.
But that's not the same as happening saying that the past, present, or the future,
or
exists.
He's outside time. The difference in time. Okay, the difference in time is interesting because there is a difference in time for different people.
Okay.
In 1962.
Yes.
Using a pair of very accurate clocks mounted at the top and bottom of a water tower, it was found that the clock at the bottom, which was nearer the Earth, ran slower than the clock at the top. So gravity has an effect on time. But I don't think it's important. I mean, to me, it feels like that is a little bit like perception. So, you know, they just launched that SpaceX rocket. And so those guys who are out on the International Space Station, presumably, for them, time is going slightly slower, is it? Because they're outside the Earth's gravitational pull. They're nearer the sun, but I'm presuming that the time is slightly different.
Time will be different. Depends on your speed that you're going as well, because the belief within the special theory of relativity is that famous formula E equals mc squared. Now, c being the speed of light in a vacuum, and the speed of light is in that equation a constant. And that was something predicted by Einstein, and it is, you know, from the experiments we've done, it appears to be correct. So if the speed of light is constant, that means that time must change, because, you know, the other parts of that equation change. So therefore, if you change something like the energy, for example, the speed of light remains the same, you must have a change in the time. Oh, I missed out the mass there as well, didn't I? Mm. But if that happens, you've got to have a change in the time. And if time then changes, then at what point are all things the same? I'll give you an example now. Years ago, it used to be the case that people set their clocks in Britain, depending on where the sun was, and you had your clock set, and it didn't really matter because... But if you went to the neighbouring village, you had to walk there, so you had an hour or so, so you didn't notice the difference in time. But when they had trains going between different places, you went so quickly that you get there, you notice the difference in time. It was very confusing. So they had to have clocks set to the same time everywhere. Right? And so there's a belief in doing that there is one time. And I suppose you could argue, by extension, that time... is, if you went back and back and back, goes back to the start of the universe. There was just one time everywhere. But according to relativity theory, the type of relativity theory that Einstein was talking about, that isn't the case. Things that are what we call at the same time aren't the same time. They're the same on the line of the direction of light travel.
Yes.
So it's to do with the travel of the direction of the light travel, not to do with whether the time is the same, because the time changes the light speed doesn't. So that's a weird thing, isn't it? It's weird, and I just want to say this: I don't think it's true. I think Einstein's wrong in that.
You think that time doesn't change?
I think the time doesn't change, and the reason.
What about the clocks?
This is my reasoning. Is this? I believe that there is an age to the universe. In fact, people will keep talking about it and how they can study astronomy and work out from it, you know, when the beginning was. If it's the same time everywhere, that gives a lie to the idea of time change going at different speeds, because it's the same everywhere. There's a universal time. But the other reason is the famous theologian Occam came up with this rule, and it became known as Occam's razor, that the simplest explanation is usually the right one. So it's not really that
like Sherlock Holmes.
That I've got evidence. Well, he probably agreed with it, Watson. You know my methods. But the two clocks, I believe, a better explanation, another explanation that I've yet to see refuted, is that there's an effect on gravity on the clock.
Yeah, that would actually be my conclusion too. Because I think, the thing is, when those astronauts come back from the space station, they're going to come back on a certain day, a certain time, and it doesn't matter what time passed for them. It's still where we are here now. Yes. It's the same.
Now, they might be aged by the process, so time, in a way, has changed for them. But time remains the same. That's what I believe. I think
physical effects may be different in different places.
Yes, the physical effects are different, but time remains the same. Now, that doesn't mean that I've got an explanation for why light appears to be the same speed. I haven't got an explanation. I mean, and I just think that explanation isn't the one. That's what I'm saying. Now, so time is time's a difficult concept to get a hold of, simply because it's something that we already know. It's an assumption beneath everything that we do. And so it's difficult, but it is important, because these ideas that the past, present and the future are all equally real and you can dot about among them have become a staple of science fiction stories, but they're also within the culture. I mean, the phrase the space-time continuum comes of this. That's the belief that both that past, present and future are all real, and also that they're just another dimension with space. You know, you've got up and down and across and time. You know. That's where that idea comes from, and that they interact with each other. And that fits in with the Einstein notions of it's not time that's a constant, it's the speed of light that's a constant.
Yeah. Well, we probably ran out of time.
And but we're going to continue with these thoughts another time. If any of these thoughts have been confusing for you, then join the club. But join us next time for more interesting conversations. Let us know what you'd like us to talk about next. What I think we're going to talk about next is what all this means for our understanding of the Bible and what biblical verses have to say about how much God knows about the future. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, catch you later.